forever. Praise the Lord. Now, would you turn with me in the word of the Lord this evening to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, and would you stand as I read from the word of the Lord? Beginning our reading at verse 16. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 16. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. I call your attention to verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you, friends. You may be seated. We've heard it so often from the time we were in school, September 16, 1620, they board the Mayflower. November 21, 1620, they form themselves into a civil body politic. December 11, 1620, they select Plymouth as the colony where they will live. The following fall, after winter that had seen 50% of the Pilgrims wiped out, and had it not been for Squanto the Indian and his friends, probably all of them would have been destroyed, the ship Comfort arrives from England. And they take the supplies, and there they have a great Thanksgiving time, and thus Thanksgiving season in America was born. In the light of that, I want to speak for a while tonight then on the subject, I am thankful. And I believe that you will join your pastor as I express my thankfulness tonight. First of all, I am thankful to be an American. I praise God for that privilege. I do not minimize being natives of other lands. I do not in any case say that I or you are any better than anyone else. But I simply do what the citizens of so many other countries do. Thank God for their heritage. And I thank God I am an American. You really appreciate this when you are not in our land. When you're in some foreign country, then it presses down just a little more upon you what it means to be an American. I remember last year when Sister Brown and I were in Berchtesgaden, Germany, where I had the privilege of ministering to our Assemblies of God troops who gather every October from throughout Europe at Berchtesgaden for a great time, a regular camp meeting atmosphere it was. Berchtesgaden was the headquarters of Adolf Hitler. His famous home, the Berghof, was there. I have a brick from that home. You would never know that Hitler's home was there because it was destroyed by the Allied bombing raid in 1945, and then the German government razed it to the ground, and you have to know where to go to even know where the ruins of it are. But as Brother Herschel Brummett and I, who were the speakers for the great retreat at Berchtesgaden, were sitting on the platform one night in the General Walker Hotel, we looked out and the American flag was out in the court beyond the room where we were meeting for the services. And as you look through the window, there was a glare coming in, and Old Glory, the beautiful light of Old Glory, was just so very apparent as it was flying in the breeze. Brother Brummett pointed that out to me. And I sat there, and it dawned upon me on the very spot where Adolf Hitler had planned World War II and brought his generals there just before he unleashed the dogs of war on September 1, 1939. On the very spot where he had browbeaten Chancellor Schuschnigg of Austria in taking over Austria and all of the many great decisions that were made during World War II, I saw Old Glory flying right through that window. And as I sat there, I thank God for His blessings upon the United States of America. Folk, I am thrilled to be an American tonight. First of all, I am thrilled to be an American because I believe that differences should be settled by the ballot and not by the bullet. That is one big difference between our land and many lands under dictatorships throughout the world tonight. We believe that ballot box is the final decision in the matter. I thank God that we live in that kind of land. I'm glad that our forefathers, when they were forming the Constitution of the United States, recognized human nature for what it was. Thomas Jefferson and men of that stripe knew that men were going to naturally be competitive. He knew that there would be wrangling. He knew that there would be strife. He knew that there would be every person trying to jockey for position. So they simply planned a government and said, let them fight it out. Let's have an executive branch. Let's have a judicial branch. Let's have a legislative branch. And let them fight it out. Let them go to it. And they did. And out of that comes the beautiful balance coming from our Constitution that protects our liberties tonight. I thank God that I'm an American because we settle things not by bullets, but by ballots. I'm also thankful to be an American because as I recognize God's wonderful goodness on our land, we believe in separation of church and state. I'm glad that no policeman in New Orleans can come and arrest me tonight, or at least he could not legally do it. I'm glad that there's no power of the government that can come in and say, we don't appreciate, we don't agree what you're teaching at the First Assembly of God. I'm glad we've got a right to teach it. Nobody is forced to accept it. We can't stuff it down people's throats. We cannot coerce them in believing it. But I'm glad, thank God, we've got a right to stand in the marketplace and compete with all the ideas that are competitive to you and me and the gospel of Jesus Christ, and no soldier comes in to stop it. No law enforcement officer comes in to stop it. We can proclaim it freely because we live under the Constitution, because we are a nation of laws and not of men, and that glorious freedom I still praise God for tonight. Now there are those who are evidently afraid of that freedom. They would have us believe that Darwinism can be taught in our schools, but creationism cannot likewise be taught. What are they afraid of? If Darwinism is so great, if Darwinism is so provable, then why are they afraid to submit it to the doctrine of the marketplace? Friend, I'll tell you why. Because if you put up that pusillanimous, polywallish garbage in front of the teaching of the Word of God would pulverize it and you would never recognize it. That's all it is, simply garbage. Now, if you want to believe that your aunt was an ooze, you go ahead, honey. But my aunt was not an ooze. My ancestors may have hung by their tails, but they didn't, by their necks, but they did not hang by their tails. I can assure you of that. And I'll tell you another thing. Since God Almighty was at the creation and Darwin was not there, I'll just take what God said about it. Thank God, I'm glad that in the marketplace we ought to have the freedom to aspire what we believe in this polywaddish nonsense, that it's contrary to separation of church and state. is absolutely ludicrous. But I'm glad that I still believe in and live in a land that believes in separation of church and state. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful to be an American. But in the second place, I'm not only thankful to be an American, I'm thankful, and I could say a Southern American, but I won't get into that. There's a little something in a restaurant near Jackson, Mississippi. I've tried to bribe the lady to sell it to Sister Brown and me, but we can't get her to do it. All she'll do is just tell us where you can find it. And it says something about, I'm an American by birth and a Southerner by the grace of God. I mean, I just kind of like the way, it just strikes me right. But I won't get into that. But I will say number two, I'm not only glad that I'm an American, I'm glad that I'm a Christian American, because I could be an American and go to hell. I could be an American and be bound by dope tonight. I could be an American and be down on Bourbon Street tonight. I could be an American and be bound by sin tonight. But thank God I'm more than an American. I praise God I'm a Christian American. And you really talk about appreciating your country, it's when you are a Christian America. Then America really looks like America to you. And then that you find yourselves thanking God and recognizing as never before how wonderful it is to be an American. But I'm praising God on this Thanksgiving Eve. I am a Christian American. Now, we got our name from an Italian in America, but we get our Christian name from a Jew by the name of Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? Yes, sir. As Americans, we get our name from an Italian. As a Christian, we get our name from a Jew. Praise God for that. There's all sorts of ethnic groups that pour into our Americanhood and our Christianhood. And I'm thankful to be a Christian American. They first started calling us that at Antioch nearly 2,000 years ago. When they started calling us the Christianoi, it was not complimentary. They meant it as a term of derision. It was everything but a compliment to be called a Christian. But I praise God that ever since we have been called Christians because we supposedly follow the Christ Himself. And I am thankful on this Thanksgiving Eve to be a Christian, to follow the Lamb of God whithersoever He goeth. I'm glad that I'm not walking blindly. I'm glad that I'm not following some old wives' fable. I'm glad that I'm not just meandering like some stream. But I praise God that I'm following the one who is the Lord of history, who is the Lord of the ages, who is the conquering King, who is the Son of God, who is the Mighty One, who is the coming Savior, who is a baptizer in the Holy Spirit, who is the Redeemer, who is a Judge, who is the Son of Man, who is the Son of God, who is the way, who is the truth, who is the life, who is the door, who is alive forevermore. I praise God. I follow the Lamb of God. I'm a Christian American. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. But number three, I'm not only glad that I'm an American, I'm not only glad that I'm a Christian American, I'm glad in the third place I'm a Protestant American. And in saying that, I in no way detract from any other church or any other belief. And yet the word Protestant does not mean to protest something as much as it means to affirm something. And so I want to affirm three things tonight. First of all, I affirm the principle of sola scriptura, which simply means scripture alone. When I get my orders, I get them from the Word of God. Here is my order right here. Here are the directives I have as I follow my commander-in-chief, the Son of the living God. My orders do not come from the church. My orders do not come from tradition. My orders do not come from religious experience. My orders come from the word of the living God, which is my final authority in faith and practice. If the word of God says it, I believe it. If the word God says you shouldn't do it, then I shouldn't do it. If the word of God says I should do it, then I should do it. So this book tells me what I can do. This book tells me what I cannot do. This book just drips with the blessing and the glory of God. This book is full of the story of the one that died in my place, that was the Son of God, but who became the Son of Man. This book tells me if I walk before God and follow Him, that I'll have a home beyond this veil of mortal tears. This book tells me that when I go down into the earth, that's not the end of the story. This book tells me the rest of the story. And thank God, I read the revelation and then I say with Paul Harvey, now I know the rest of the story. Hallelujah! This book is my authority. Hallelujah. Secondly, as a Protestant, I believe in the principle of sola gratia, grace alone. I'm not saved by works. I'm not saved by brownie points. I'm not saved by any credentials I may try to bring before God. God is not interested in my genealogy. God is not interested in my PhD. God is not interested in anything that I can bring before Him. God couldn't care less that I'm a Kentucky colonel. God couldn't care less of this and that. All God wants to know is, James Brown, are you washed in the blood of my Son? And I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I've been washed in the blood of the Son of the living God, and the blood of Jesus Christ has made me whole. Hallelujah. And because of that, I am saved, not by works which we have done, but by His grace. He hath saved us. Blessed be His name. Oh, hallelujah. Grace alone. And do we ever sometimes have trouble with grace? I remember Sister Brown and I were in Madrid, Spain, getting ready to board a flight for Lisbon, Portugal. And we were in checking through among the last ones to board. And it looked as if all the seats in the coach section were gone. But what they did was just simply put us up in the first class section. So we sat up there with the VIPs, and the peons were back in the coach section. Why? Grace. Grace. That's all grace. We didn't deserve it. Didn't pay one penny more than the coach class passengers. Simply grace. Somebody had been gracious. Somebody had done something we had not deserved. And I want to tell you, you hear me tonight, and God sparing me, in just a few weeks we will come to our New Year's Eve service. And if that happens, and if He spares me, it will be 40 years ago to the night that as a boy I was here in the city of New Orleans. I still remember it. My friends and I from the Mobile area had come down to see Georgia play North Carolina in the Sugar Bowl on January 1, 1947. I still remember we had nowhere to go. We had hardly any money to spend. I remember we saw Gary Cooper in a movie called Saratoga Trunk. I remember it as if it were yesterday. But I remember something else. If I'd have died that night 40 years ago, I would have gone to hell. But blessed be God, if God spares me to December 31, 1986, and I die, then I'll not go to hell. I'll go to heaven. Why? Because of grace. Sola gratia. Grace alone has made the difference. And then number three, I'm a Protestant because I believe in the priesthood of the believers. I thank God we have, because of the blood of Jesus, instant access into the very presence of God. I'm glad the Bible says we're kings and priests unto God. He has made us kings. He has made us priests unto Himself. And because we're kings and priests unto God, we can go into the presence of our Father. And for His Son's sake, He will do that which we need Him to do. What a privilege, folk, to have immediate access into God's presence. I'm so thankful that when you need something from God, you don't have to go through your pastor. I'm glad that you don't have to be in church wherever you are. You can go instantaneously to God. And that's the beauty of New Testament Christianity, that God is available. I remember when I was a boy, the old saints used to sing, "Jesus Christ the Lord, open up the way to heaven's gate." When the Savior died upon the cross to redeem the lost, to redeem the lost. I praise God. I'm a priest unto the Lord my God. But I am thankful tonight, not only to be an American, not only to be a Christian American, not only to be a Protestant Christian American, but I'm thankful to be a Pentecostal Protestant Christian American. I could go to heaven and be a Protestant American. I could go to heaven and never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. But I thank God He gave me some heaven to go to heaven in. I'm glad that along the way He gave us a foretaste of that which was going to come. I'm glad He filled us with a mighty baptism in the Holy Spirit. I praise God for that. What an inconceivable loss it would have been had I passed through life and had never had the privilege of being baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And I just thank God that He has made us Pentecostal. And in being Pentecostal, I'm in good company. I read the New Testament, Brother Flanagan. I can't find one believer that wasn't Pentecostal in the New Testament. I mean, brother, we're in good company. I get over to heaven and I find the 12 foundations of heaven are named after 12 tongue-talking Pentecostal preachers. So everywhere I turn in the New Testament, I see Pentecostal Christians. Yeah, I feel like my friend, the late Brother A.C. Bates. Now, of course, you never knew him, but he stood about 6'7", long, tall, Texas drink of water. And Brother Bates and Sister Brown and I and Brother Paul Riggs were in a restaurant in Oklahoma City one night. She and I were in a revival meeting with Brother Riggs in Oklahoma City. And the waitress came up to us, and I don't know why, but she recognized, she said, "You folk are holiness, aren't you?" And Brother Bates looked at her. He said, "Young lady, everybody's holiness that hasn't been monkeyed with." And that's right. That's right. That's right. Somebody's been monkeyed with. Praise God. I look in this book, they were filled with the Spirit. I look in this book, they were Pentecostal. Somebody's been monkeyed with since then. But I'm glad I got the monkey off my back. Hallelujah. And God filled me with the Holy Spirit of God and gave me the privilege of being Pentecostal. Praise God. Oh, what a heritage we have, child of God. We ought to praise Him tonight. And I'm glad to be an American. I'm glad to be a Christian American. I'm glad to be a Protestant Christian American. I'm glad to be a Pentecostal Protestant Christian American. But, and you folk will forgive me for just a few moments and bear with me in my folly if you're of another denomination, and God bless you for that. I have no problem with that. But I'm also, and I must say it, I'm thankful to be in the Assemblies of God Pentecostal Protestant Christian American. Praise the Lord. That's right. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. First Assembly of God belongs to a great fellowship, the fastest growing denomination in America. I thank God for that. I'm not boasting about that, but I certainly praise God that He's touched the Assemblies of God. And one major reason is, from the beginning, folk, the Assemblies of God has stood for something. From the beginning, we've been determined that experience must conform to the Word of God. You can't have experience that runs counter to the Word of God. Experience must always be reined in under the sovereignty of the Word of God. What was the first thing Peter did on the day of Pentecost when they wanted him to explain these phenomena which were occurring? He said, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." He reined it right in under the sovereignty of the Word of God. So I'm convinced one reason God has blessed the Assemblies of God is because we have been doctrinally pure. Now, we've had a lot of hot exchanges at our General Council of the Assemblies of God, and some very, very forceful things have happened. I remember a few years ago, we used to have a very colorful pastor from New York City, Brother Robert Brown, converted Irish policeman, big, robust, red-faced Irishman. And man, he was all man. And Brother Brown would get up on the council floor and he would debate this and that. And at one of our general councils, which happens every other year, he stood, and in his Irish brogue, he said, "Brother Chairman, I move." And about that time, Sister Marie Brown, who was his co-pastor, just kind of jerked his coat. And when she jerked his coat, he said, "Brother Chairman, I do not move." And he sat down. And so we've had everything. I mean, you name it. We've had everything. We've debated everything. We've debated oneness. We've debated latter rain. We've debated everything from Dan to Beersheba. But I want to tell you one thing we've never changed are the simple 16 articles. Our faith, thank God, over the years, they've stood us in good stead. We've survived the oneness issue. We've survived the latter rain issue. And we've survived this and we've survived that. And we've never had to change one article of doctrine. I praise God, the Assemblies of God stands for something. Now, God is moving throughout the world. The Assemblies of God is not the only denomination God is blessing. I praise God for that. Oh, if that were the case, most of you wouldn't be here tonight if it were only the Assemblies of God. Most of you never came from an Assemblies of God background. So it's amazing that the bough is going over the wall and has become fruitful. And as Isaac said when he came to Rehoboth, "Now will the Lord make room for us." Hallelujah. For we are now in the land. And I thank God that from various backgrounds we've come. But I am thankful that with the God blessing in this great charismatic move of the Spirit and the classical Pentecostal move that began at the first of the century, I'm glad he didn't leave out the Assemblies of God. Reminds me of two men who'd never flown before. They boarded the plane in Los Angeles, landed at Phoenix. Out came a red Texaco truck and refueled the airliner. They took off, landed at Chicago. Out came a red Texaco truck, refueled the airliner. They took off again, landed at Cleveland. Out came a red Texaco truck, refueled the airliner. And finally, they landed at Kennedy Airport. And as they were circling up to the gate, one of the men said to his companion, he said, "I tell you what," he said, "this flying is all right. This is amazing." And his companion said, "That's right. But," he said, "I want to tell you, that little red Texaco truck hasn't done too badly either. I want to tell you, the Assemblies of God hasn't done too badly either. I thank God what he's doing, whether you are Assemblies of God or God Assembled, where you are a church of God of church, where you're Church of God in Christ, are you a church with or without this or that, the other? Are you the Methodist, Baptist, Episcopalian, Lutheran, you name it? I thank God that wherever there are hungry hearts, our God is moving by His Spirit, and I'm thankful to be part and parcel of what God is doing in this generation. Glory.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm thankful to be an American. I'm thankful to be a Christian American. I'm thankful to be a Protestant Christian American. I'm thankful to be a Pentecostal Protestant Christian American. I'm thankful to be an Assemblies of God Pentecostal Protestant Christian American. And I'm thankful to be pastor of the First Assembly of God in New Orleans, Louisiana. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Call you to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We call our love to touch on the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, friends. Thank you tonight. That was so, you shouldn't have done that, but we love you for it. God bless you. God bless you. But I say in tones of sincerity, I thank God, and Deanne shares this with me, the wonderful privilege of being your pastor. God was good to us in permitting us to come your way. And by the grace of God, as she has already so beautifully stated it for both of us, we are going to give ourselves unreservedly to the work of God and to you. And like Paul, we are willing to spend and be spent. And as we do that, I know that our Heavenly Father is going to just move us out into the stream of His blessing. And let's get in God's river. Let's go where He's going. Let's do what He's doing. Let's be what He wants us to be. And our God will bless us abundantly. I just thank God tonight for the privilege of standing before you and as your pastor. And finally, I thank God for the privilege of being an American. I thank God for the privilege of being a Christian American. I thank God for the privilege of being a Protestant Christian American. I thank God for the privilege of being a Pentecostal Protestant Christian American. I thank God for the privilege of being an Assemblies of God Pentecostal Protestant Christian American. I thank God for the privilege of being the pastor of the First Assembly of God, Assemblies of God, Pentecostal Protestant Christian America. But as much as anything, I thank God for you. I have watched you. Your resiliency has amazed me. Your stick-to-itiveness has been such a source of encouragement. You could have thrown in the towel. You could have said, what's the use? You could have said, it isn't worth it. You could have done all that, but you didn't do it. You didn't do it. You reminded me of when I went off to Bible college. I preached a youth rally in Goodway, Alabama. And I can still remember Daddy Shell, who had been our pastor for years, though we had lived in Mobile for any number of years following our time in Monroe County. He looked at me. He said, son, you're going off to Bible college. And he said, you're not going to be there long until the devil's going to come. And he's going to try to make you leave and give up and go home. But dear, I'll never forget his words and his way of putting it. He said, but you ain't going to do it. You ain't going to do it. You're going to stay right there and do what God sent you there to do. Surely enough, Daddy Shell was right. I was ready to leave at Thanksgiving, the first Thanksgiving I was in Bible college. Came home, had a wonderful opportunity to go with an evangelist who was having great tent revivals and divine healing. But then I remembered the words of Daddy Shell, and I stayed in there. And I thank God for that. And that's what you've reminded me of. You've stayed in there. You didn't throw in the towel. You acted like God meant it when He said, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. You acted like you took seriously what He said. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You acted like you really believed Him when He said, I will build my church. And because you stayed in there, God has stayed in there with you, and the greater victories are still ahead. Hallelujah. So tonight, hallelujah. So tonight, would you stand and join me? And let us thank Almighty God on this Thanksgiving Eve for His unspeakable gift of His Son and His indescribable blessings on us individually and as a church. Let us praise Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We praise You, dear Lord. We praise You, dear Lord. We praise You, dear Lord. We thank Thee. It's a good thing to thank the Lord, Your Bible says. It's a good thing to praise God. It's a good thing to remember God. We thank Thee. We thank Thee. We bless Thee. We honor Thee. We glorify Thee on the earth. Help us to finish the work Thou gavest us to do.
Yes.
We worship Thee. We remember Thee. Blessed be Thy name. Blessed be Thy name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh. Oh, we love You. We honor You. We magnify You. We praise Your name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory.